Amen. Turn to Luke chapter 7, two or three passages of Scripture. Verse number 37, 36. One of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with her tears and did wipe them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Of course, when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that touched him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he said, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, the other 50. When they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time that I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, Thy sins be forgiven. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray you'll let me get out of me what's in here. That's really what I want you to do. I want you to make it real plain to us tonight. We'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I feel very unworthy to stand here. Feel the least of the group. If you want to look at a verse of Scripture too, I want to read a verse out of John chapter 11, verse number 1. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. I want to talk to us this evening about worship. Now, I've done some homework, so you'll forgive me. I have some things written and I just want to tell you about them. I've studied a lot about this lady, whoever it is. I feel like I'm the oddball in the bunch. Today I found some tremendous. You know, a liberal, I can read liberals and dump them. I have been a liberal and dumped it, so you can understand how I can do that. I can fish it out. You read your Bible much. You read it much so that the Holy Ghost, if you're saved, the Holy Ghost can filter out error when it comes through like a sieve, like my mother's flour sieve. It catches the lumps, and the stuff won't go through. There's some things won't go through the sieve. There's some things, when you hear them, your ears perk up. They're lumps that won't go through the sieve. And so you read your Bible to make sure you don't cross things up. Now, I feel like that a time or two I've come near. I've had a few lumps left. It didn't work. But I want to say tonight, just that is an introductory thought, that I looked at all these women that came into Jesus' presence and anointed him, either in his head or his feet. And I just listed them. Matthew 26:7, you don't have to turn there. It was a woman, it was Simon the leper, and it was at Bethany, and she anointed his head. In Mark 14:3, it is a parallel to that same verse. It is Simon a leper. Now we have Simon a Pharisee, and he's up in Capernaum, up in the north end. But we have a Simon a leper who was at Bethany. Bethany is the town of Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. Then we have our situation I read in Luke chapter 7, in John chapter 12, or 11. And then in John chapter 12, Mary, the sister of Lazarus, anoints his feet, and Martha complains about it. Now, I've done enough homework on it, and I probably could be corrected. But I'm not sure that Mary, the sister of Lazarus, is not Mary Magdalene. Now, I'll tell you, done the homework. Magdala was a city on the west coast of the Sea of Galilee where hot springs bubble up through the mud. The rich Romans went there and bathed themselves in that area, and it was a very lucrative little area of town in the Roman days, and the high class people went there to bathe in those hot muds, and it was a lucrative society there, and apparently Mary was from Magdala, apparently either that or she was Mary Magdala, a hair twister or a hair keeper, hair. She's wealthy because she had a very expensive ointment in a very expensive alabaster box. She's a wealthy lady. Her trade had made her wealthy. The background of this lady is not mentioned in almost any commentary. I read liberal men. I read J.B. Lightfoot today. I never even dreamed that old Lightfoot would have anything to say, but he said, it's almost without a doubt that Mary Magdala is Lazarus' sister. And he's got a ton of tradition, Talmud writings and everything. Her husband got mad at her one day and locked her in the house, and it broke their affinities, and she became an adulteress. Every commentary, just about, I don't know of one other than him, that does not get upset with us when we say she was an immoral woman. She had 7 devils cast out of her. I read one man today that said that we put down on her character by accusing her of immorality. I wonder what you got to do when you've got 7 devils in you to not be immoral. I believe she was a filthy, high-classed harlot woman. When she met Christ, he saved her. Now, I want to say this tonight. I believe that the failure in us, in our losing of our people, I've lost mine, you've lost yours. We're losing. We're losing ground. We're not gaining ground. Somewhere we have missed connecting our people, if they are saved, to the Savior who saved them from an impossible situation. He made a great statement in our verses tonight. To whom much is forgiven, loveth much. Now, it's not a good deal. I mean, it's really not a good deal if you have been raised in a godly home by godly parents in a godly church, a fundamental old-time church, raised in that church, not ever been given the privilege to taste the world's filth. If you've been kept from that and saved early in your life, that's the person that ought to worship the Lord more than any other. But unfortunately, our Lord knows that that's not going to happen. He knows it takes a scallywag, a lowlife, born again, to know what happened to him. If you want to know, you run into somebody that loves the Lord, And they weep and worship and they're intimate with the Lord. When you find somebody like that, you don't have to ask them where they've been. They've been somewhere you don't want to know. And they've entered into the glories of the forgiven life. And they don't get over that old life. I want to tell you tonight, you young people, listen to me. A lot of kids in here, that I love you kids. I love you kids. You listen to me. Don't you open the door and you won't have to try to get it shut. But if you open that door, you won't get it shut, buddy. You may not allow saints to come through that door, but that door will always be a threat to your life. B.H. Carroll was writing in his commentary on the sin against the Holy Ghost. And in that same, it's five chapters on repentance there. And in that context, he said, he wove over into youth. And he made a statement that just staggers me when I read it. He said, oh, the beginnings. And what he's talking about is this kid who's introduced sin into his life, thinking he's taking liberty and nobody will ever know. It's those beginnings. It's those awful beginnings, Brother Mitchell, that are, oh, listen, our kids don't know, Brother Dale, what they're doing when they open them doors. They don't understand. As a little boy, a little girl, it starts something that won't go off. It won't just go away. And I'm telling you, I'm not sure that I'm right about this, but it may be the sin that does so easily beset us, that follows us all the days of our life. Now to worship the Lord, you have to be delivered. I mean, to worship, you have to be delivered. I mean, there's a man, I know of a man that the founder of Chick-fil-A pulled him off the street. Drug head. Dope head. Brought him off the street. Had nothing. Was dissipated. Brought him to himself. Put him through school. Gave him everything he would ever need to make his life. Taught him how to work and earn his wage by the sweat of his brow, which is a forgotten beatitude. That man has a right to love the man that brought him off that street. He ought to love the man that brought him off that street. And when you say worship, you're not really violating anything when you say, if you really understand the word, that he should worship nearly the man that brought him off that street. Brought him out of that lifestyle. Hosea married a woman that brought her out of that lifestyle, but she went back into that lifestyle. I believe that. And so tonight, my thinking, if we're gonna deal with this issue, there has to be a deliverance. And I really believe this woman was a scarlet colored woman. I think she was immoral. I don't think there's any doubt about it. And you follow her, you watch how she was. She never got around the Lord that she wasn't in a position of worship. If you see her doing, if you tell what she was doing, she was giving him her worship. She went to that tomb. She didn't go to that tomb. She anointed him for his burial, not for his resurrection. She anointed him for his burial. She went to that tomb to view a corpse. A dead body that she loved. I can't help it. One writer I read said when she stepped to that tomb, that long black hair and those brown Jewish eyes, a beautiful, lovely, God-redeemed maiden, the Lord looked down from heaven as she stood in front of that empty tomb and his mind. He made the Lord's mind sway to think about, that's my church. That's the little woman I redeemed. She's come to this empty grave to anoint a dead body, and I'm not dead. Oh, what'd it do to him? I was sent here by Brother Ken, and by some stroke of, do you know what coincidence is, anybody? coincidence. You just think that's luck, don't you? Co is two, an incidence is two happenings, and in that word, Greek word, is lordship. Just look it up. Look it up in the Strong's Concordance. Coincidence means there's two incidents happen that determines destiny. Lordship, isn't that right? Destiny. I sat by Ken, Brother Ken, by coincidence, I looked right back through there, and that little boy that you all think so much of was looking at me, hoping I'd look at him. And when I did look at him, he lit up. He's four, you know. He lit up. I winked at him, and he winked back at me. I smiled, and he smiled at me. Do you understand what I'm talking about tonight? What could he get me to do from right there if he needed for me to do it back there? I'm not all powerful, but there's enough love between my heart and that kid's heart that I'd make my way to him if he needed me. If I just thought he needed me, Brother Jones, I'd go to him. And I would take care of what he needed. There has to be a day when there's a relationship made and a deliverance is made. And that deliverance is not a small deliverance, Miss Christian. It's not a small thing. A lot of you sitting in here, I'm going to tell you, I don't know where you're saved or not. And I'm not being critical. It's going to be a bad deal for you if you say, Lord, Lord, and he said, I don't know you. And you don't think it's going to happen, buddy, you're crazy. It's going to happen in a Baptist church. As sure as God made apples green. We're so filled with church members that don't know how to love the Lord, it's pitiful. We want to know why they're leaving our church. I'm going to tell you why. Now, hey, it's not a one blessed thing, but they don't love Him. That's a flat out bottom line, isn't it, buddy? I've been married 52 years, going on 53 this year. My wife is sitting right back there. I don't know if I've run this through you before or not, but I'll just tell you just for the fun of rehearsing so I don't forget it. When I drink a glass of milk at my house, Brother Billy Mitchell, I go to the sink and run water in so she don't have to scrub that ring out of it. I didn't ask her if I should do it, and she didn't tell me she wanted it done. When I stir my coffee with a teaspoon, I turn it upside down so there won't be any residue left of that spoon for her to have to clean up. She didn't ask me to do it. I didn't ask her. She wanted me to do it. I just done it because I love her. You understand tonight? There has to be a deliverance. This woman, everything about her tells you she is immoral. She had long hair. She left it out, which was a plain advertisement that I'm available to men. She came in, not invited when Jesus sent Simon the Pharisee. This lady came into that place, and I believe it was her. She stood at his feet. They don't sit at tables. They lay down. On their left side, eat with her right hand. I'm assuming if you're left-handed, it'd be the other way. I don't know. She came in. She walked over to him. I'm talking about, you know good and well, the hush came because a sinner, a woman of the city, a sinner has come in this eloquent, this exquisite invitation to a prophet by a Pharisee. She came into there. Uninvited, you know it caused a hush, stood at his feet. I don't know, she may have kneeled at his feet, but she started crying. And her tears fell on his feet. And she got down on her knees, and she went on her knees, and she started drying his feet with her hair. With this advertisement that said, I'm available, she started wiping the feet of the master, drying his feet. And anointed his feet with that. She broke that alabaster box. Let me ask you a question. Why do you think she had the thing? My wife went out today and bought a dress and got a good deal on it. $375,000 would be a real deal for anybody, wouldn't it? I don't know what, no, anyway, you know it. She bought a dress. And I want you to understand this evening, it didn't bother me no matter what she paid for it. It made her pretty. I say, I believe it's the prettiest dress she ever bought. You understand me tonight? This woman broke something valuable. She didn't go to the dime store or the dollar store and buy that thing. I don't know what it costs to have that box. I have a broken one that I got in Israel out of the dig below the Temple Mount when I kind of went past the barriers. I should have never said that on the... I borrowed it till we get to the New Jerusalem. I'll put it back. I found it in the trash. Really, I did. Really, I found it in the trash. They had dug and just stuff was piled there. I found a little piece of an alabaster ointment piece. I still own it. It was broken. Top of it was broke off. May have been the one she broke. It's expensive, really. I have the lamp. I have a lamp that came from his day and two widow's mites. It might have been the two widow's mites that was casting that treasure. I own them. I bought them. I didn't steal them. I'm serious about that. Why do you think she had those things? Because they were something she really valued. She had enough money to buy what she wanted. She chose that to buy. She bought that ointment and that alabaster box. If you went into her apartment, they would be there. These beautiful pieces that she had bought with her lifestyle. And we all know, I don't know what's going on here in Hodgetville or E-Town or Louisville, but I can tell you, buddy, if you spend a night with a rented woman, you ain't going to get it for a dollar. It'll cost you a pile of money. It does at home. I had men saved and come to my church that told me what it costs. She had what she wanted, Brother Larry. She decorated her place up. But the Master set her free from those demons. And she brought the best she had. And brought the best she had. And poured the best she had on Him. You think she saved the pieces and super glued them back together? I think she threw them away. She took what she valued and threw it away for something she valued more. Is that not right? You know it's right, Brother Ken. She got down on her knees and she poured that ointment on him. And he obviously approved of every bit of it. And every time you see him, you see her. And I want to ask you something tonight. I'm almost done preaching. I want you to listen to me a minute. Do you love him enough to break anything? Huh? You know, it's Brother Wendell, isn't it? It's going to that machine shop dinner. Wendell, is that your name, Wendell? Wendell, I wanted a metal lathe. I'm 71. I got one about 15 years ago, so you can add make the arithmetic. I wanted one all those years, but I never would ask God for it because I thought it was carnal. And God saw my heart, Wendell, and He gave me one that I could afford. And one day, Brother Wendell, I went in that shop where that lathe was and had a rubber mat in front of it. And I got down on my knees and I said, Lord, I want to thank You for this lathe, but I want to thank You also more than that. That I don't worship this lathe. It means nothing to me compared to You. I prayed for guns, and I was in a rich man's home in Alabama one time. He brought me a big Colt Python. And there's a Smith there, and he said, take your choice. And I said, well, whichever one's the cheap, least value. He said, they're both pretty high powered. I said, which one do you want most? He said, I want them both of them or wouldn't have them. And I said, I hate to take your gun. He said, it won't hurt anything. I'll buy another tomorrow. A millionaire. So he got on. I said, I don't know. His name's Gary. I said, Gary, I don't know. I just prayed for a gun. I said, Lord, you said if I'd light myself and you, give me a gun. And that's all I was ever said. That was on a trip down there in a Cadillac and all my kids asleep. Nobody knew even prayed it. That boy got up from a conversation, went straight in, got them guns and laid them down. Conversation's over. He said, well, I can tell you which one will be best for you. It'd be that python. If you want the one that's going to help you most, get that big old python. He gave me that python. I've been shot about 3 times. And I'm going to tell you what, that python don't mean one thing to me tonight. I don't even know if I've seen it in 2 or 3 years. I guess it's still in the styrofoam. You understand me tonight? I want to say this to you kids. Listen to me, young people. It's hard for you to ever say, I forsake all to have him. Now when you get my age, or Brother Mitchell's, or some of these other fellows our age, it's not hard for us to say, take it all, I'm looking at the graveyard. I don't care about nothing. I wanted a canoe for 50 years. Man, give me two of them. I don't know. I think I got one of them one time. I don't know where they are now. Somebody else got my affection. It's pretty hard for you as a young person to get. Listen to what it said in Matthew 10. I heard on the radio that Davis fellow staying the other day. So what are you going to do with this? He said, if you don't love me more than you do your mom and dad and your brother and sister and your children and all that, he said, you're not worthy of me. That happening? That ain't happening in the Baptist church. Huh? You're more apt to pull your boat to the, well, I've got to take my vacation. Go count it all up and see where Jesus Christ is to you. I'm looking at, I probably know 25% of you, maybe more. Really now. What would you break? Would you break the alabaster box and ointment of your life, of your love? Would you break that of your dollars and money? I want to tell you something. God will try you in your money. He tried me 3 times with this money like this. One time he said, I want you to give everything you got. I want you to give everything you have. Well, I didn't have much. It wasn't hard to do. And I did. I don't know what it was, $10, $15, $20. It wasn't much. The next time I was wanting to give so bad I couldn't stand it. So I got my billfold out and got looking through it, and I had $72, I think it was, folded up in my billfold. I said, what in the world is this $72 in here? Man, I was just on high ground. I jerked it out and put it in the offering plate. As soon as it went in the offering plate, Holy Ghost said, that was your mission money for Sunday. Now I said, Lord, well, I'm not going to get it back, but I didn't aim to do that. Could you give it back to me? And he gave it back to press down. Run over, shake the other, run over. He gave me plenty back to cover it with. But the third time, I was standing right about here. Holy Ghost said, I want you to give everything you got. I said, are you sure about that? He said, I want you to give everything you have. See, some of y'all are too rich to do that. That's a curse. That's a curse. I reached in my billfold, my pocketbook, my front pocket. I counted it off. There was $276 in it. I said, you sure? I said, you tell me one more time and I'll do it. And he did. And he did. He said, you don't tell your right hand what you left hand what you right. So I went up there and I told Brother Allen, the one taking off. And I said, here, God told me to give this and told me not to, for you not to tell nobody. Give it to him. He got right up and told the whole crowd. I don't trust him nothing. He's a liar. No, I'm just kidding. Y'all know I love Brother Allen. So I said, the only way I can do this is not tell him. Because they give it all back to me. They just brought it from everywhere. I had $300 or $400. So I just give it all again. I gave it again. And I didn't tell nobody. And lo and behold, I gave it back to him again. And nobody knew I did it the third time. God gave it back to me. He just wanted my heart. Right across this county or two right over here, just 2 counties from you, Hardin County, a deacon tried to run me off from church. He had a list against me. I'd say, Lord, I want you to bless me. And he'd say, you go tell that deacon you're sorry. I said, I'm not the one done it. He done it. He said, you go over. I said, I ain't going. He said, well, I'll be here when you get back. You remember the groundhog? He said, I'll be here when you get back. I came back too. I said, I want it. I want help. He said, go. I said, no, I'm not done it. He done it to me. I didn't do it to him. He said, I'll be here when you get back. The third time, he said, you're going to let a lost man or a backslider keep you from my intimate love. And I said, that's all I need to hear.
Yes,
got my car and drove. And here's how I had to do it. I had to do it like I was the guilty party.
Yeah.
And I got there, and the man wasn't at home. He worked night work, and he should have been there. I searched the farm over looking for him. Couldn't find him. Come back out and got in the car, and I said, what in the world did you send me out here for? He said, I want to be your Lord, or I'm not going to fool with you. You believe he'd do me that way and wouldn't do you that way? You're not thinking right. You think of all the scriptures that say you can find the Lord, but you're going to have to do it with all your heart. There's no such a thing as one foot in, 1 foot out. There's no such a thing as part-time. There's no such a thing as luxury salvation. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. That's a pile of stuff. If that didn't happen to you, you probably didn't hear the Master's call. I'm not trying to be mean to you tonight. I'm fixing to close this up. All I want to do is make you stop for a minute and think, have I got the real thing? 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, examine yourself. See, Brother Larry, they're leaving our churches because they don't love Jesus. If they love the Lord, they'll read their Bible. If they love, let me tell you guys something. I believe this is right. The more you love Him, the more you will try to keep what He wanted you to do that you don't have to do to be saved. I believe that. Now, let me give you, for instance, of probably all, not very many of us are going to be with here. He said to keep the Sabbath day holy. Doesn't he say that? Now, probably most of us violate that rule. Probably most of us in here violate that rule. Now, and we're not going to hell because we violated that rule. Because the ordinances against us have been nailed to the cross. But I tell you what them ordinances are now. They're not a rule you have to keep to go to heaven. They're a rule you have to keep to show you love. That's all. You know why it's good, Brother Mill? Because you can't gainsay it. The book plainly shows, he said, if you love me, you show it by what you do. I love my wife. Go back there and ask her if I love her. I don't have to tell her I love her. Go back there and ask her if I do. Go back there and ask her what I would do for her. She can't find anything I wouldn't do for her. Because there is nothing I wouldn't do for her. We've never had anything. Money. And I used to give her a hard way, Brother Townsend. I mean, I made Christmas just about hell on earth for that girl. And every time a birthday had come, I just made it hard on her. And one day God made me see what a mess that was making. She come up on that Christmas season, and you can take it or leave it. I don't worship whatever this God is supposed to be. You know, I got on Easter the other day. It says Easter in the Bible. Somebody said, oh, it's a sin to worship that, going that day. You know why they did that? Y'all know why they had Christmas on that holiday of Purim? You know why they did that? They put a Christmas holiday in the place of a pagan holiday to show you that Christ outshines them all. That's why we serve Christ on Easter, and I don't even know who Ishtar is. Do you? No. So we come up on Christmas. She said, how much can I spend? I said, baby, you spend her until there ain't no more, and then you'll have to shut your own self down. I'm not going to. And just do it any way you want to. And buy it all out, pay it all out, or be jughead and don't give none of it out. I don't care what you do. And I don't want anything. Don't buy me nothing. It'll please me if you just get happy to buy somebody else something. Did I do that, Totsie? Do I do that every year since? You know why? Because I love her. If you love Him, if you love Him, like I love that woman right there, she won't have to beg you to. I wash the dishes because I want to. My daddy said, a woman is always trying to henpeck a man, and I thought that. And I found out it's not true. She may henpeck me, but it'd be all right. If you tell me she did, I'll hurt you. Get my John Primble out. No, I'm serious tonight. I'm done, just about done. Think about this a minute. Do you love Him more than anything else? There's no room for you. Do you understand you're playing games? There's no room for you in God's... Go get the book up, see if there is. He said, you'll seek me and find me when you search me. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Love your neighbors yourself. Those two rules right there hang everything else. Everything's hung on. Do you love Him tonight? What are you going to do Sunday morning? And Sunday afternoon, Sunday night? What if your vacation comes up and you're going off to Florida? You're going to church when you're down there? You're going to leave your tithe when you leave? Now, I want to tell you something about this tithe, buddy. It's 10% of what you've made. If you can't figure that out, I'll let you borrow my calculator. If you made $10,000, it's $1,000. My wife and I live on Social Security, $1,000 a month. That's all. Except this right here, baby. These little love offers. You know what our check was last week because our security came in? It was $100 before the bills were paid. Oh, Brother Wayne, that's plenty of money. Well, you can figure it out. I'll let you borrow the thing. You see if you can stretch them nickels that far. No, God just pays the bills. You give me mine and I'll take care of you. And that doesn't give me a liberty to buy Playboy magazines with a 90%. Or lottery tickets or nothing else. I'll tell you what Brother Jones preaches. The reason we don't do those things is because we don't love Him. That's the bottom line. One word, love. One word cured every bit of it. You forgot you were cleansed. You know the church. I'll just preach it till he quits. You know what he said about that first church in seven churches of Asia Minor? The very first one? He said two things. He said, you left your first love and I'm going to take your candlestick away. What's he saying there? He said, I let a church go that had the Nicolaitan outfit in it and Jezebel teaching Sunday school. Said, I didn't tell them that, but I'll tell you what I'm going to do to you. If you don't come back to worshiping me, I'm going to blow the lights out in your whole mess. And I've come to believe this. You don't have to believe this. But you wait till you busted your hide about 30 years or 40 years in churches trying to keep them going, you'll find out. There's three things you better have in that church. It says to that woman, 4th chapter of John, worship, spirit, little s, and truth. Spirit and truth. Worship means get out on your knees and kiss His feet or kiss His hands. Bow to Him. The Easterns touched her head to the ground. Fall before your sovereign. In spirit, my heart's in it, and that's the way the book said to do it. Truth. And if those three things are not in the church, you better sell it while the price is up. Because then that's all it's worth. And I can tell you one, if you get one that'll worship in spirit and truth, there ain't enough money in the world to buy it. God is for that church. He'll defend that church to the devils. He'll beat the devils off that church. I believe that Billy Mitchell, if my name is Wayne Henderson, I believe he'll beat the devil off the church if it'll worship in spirit and truth. And if a human being will worship in spirit, worship, spirit, and truth, he'll pretty well beat the devils off of him. And if he don't, if he don't, it's because he said, I hate to do this to you, but it's the only way I can straighten you out. Let me ask you one more time. How are you feeling about your life? Does he make any difference? If he tells you to do something, you're going to do it. Does he rule anything in your life? Does he have any influence on your boating life, on your hunting life, on your fishing life, on your decor in your home, on your apparel, your social life? Does he tell you to quit fooling with these people? They're influencing your kids wrong. Can he do that? I'll tell you what we did. I'm not the paragon of virtue. I throwed television out of my house in the 70s. Aaron was born. Back there she sits. I don't know how old she is, but she's old enough to be here. She was born in 80, weren't you, baby? I was in depression. Bad. God sent my baby. She carried me through the depression time in my life. We throwed that TV out. She's just a little angel. She's always been an angel. Still is. Carried down to Mom and Dad's. Mom and Dad just loved to keep her. She didn't tire the place up when she got there. She wasn't a childhood tornado. You know why? See this thing right here around my belt? If you want to see it, I don't have to have it hold my britches up. It's just a habit I've kept from her childhood. I just made sure she didn't tear a house up. Mom and Dad wanted her. I left her there and we forgot something. Turned around and drove back to the house and they were all sitting in front of the television watching it. I said, get your clothes. We're leaving. Mom said, where are you leaving for? I said, I'm taking her with me. Why are you doing that? I said, if you're going to watch TV and you know I don't, you're not watching my kid. She said, is that the only reason why? I said, that's the only reason why. She said, that television won't be played. Aaron's right back there. Ask her. They never played it the rest of her life. And if they wanted to see my baby, they had to keep the button off. Say, Brother Wayne, you're going to hurt your church members' feelings. I tell you what Noah did. He got 8 on that ark, and there wasn't one of his neighbors got on there. Just his kids. Not socializing enough. He'd got some more people if he didn't socialize. He may have left some of them kids, too. It's been my desire to forsake it all others to keep my little family. If I could, I've lost just about all of them. But I wanted to, and I tried to. And what light I had, that's what I acted on. And I got more now than I ever had in my life, and I see some things I didn't do. Oh, I'm sorry for just rambling. Stop a minute and think, are you real? Or has the devil sold you a wooden nickel? A counterfeit paste pearl, R.G. Lee called it, a paste pearl. Huh? Old Wendy Bagwell singing that song, he said, did you go down there and them fill you full of a bunch of words? He said, if you did, you'll have to go again. Meaning to get saved. Are you just one of those Lord, Lord people? And you hadn't figured it out yet? Has God not dealt with your heart about how much dedication you've got to Him? Has He not dealt with you about that? If He has, won't you come to altar? It'd be good for you to come to altar. You may be saved. They forgot they were cleansed. Peter said that some people forgot they're cleansed. Ain't that right? It's Peter, isn't it, said that. I don't know what that exactly means, but apparently it means they were cleansed and they forgot it. Why don't you come and pray tonight? Somewhere in this church, why don't you come pray and say, Lord, I've messed up so bad, I don't know if there's a bit of hope. I've got a message called, You Can Start All Over Again. If you don't believe that, read Ezekiel. He said, you tell them if they change. He said, the day they change, I'll change my spirit about it. You can start all over again. You can start at old age. You can start tonight. You can start when your purity's thrown away. When you, one lady I witnessed to one night right up here in Radcliffe, her husband worked 4 to 12 shift. We had to go after he got off. We went in there and, you know, it's just like God. Talking to this woman, that man, brought up abortion. She went all to pieces. She'd killed a baby. She said, what do I do? I said, get that altar and tell God you're sorry. He'll wash it away. He'll cleanse it. He won't. You can't get over the scar, but you can get over the infection. Huh? Wouldn't you want to come tonight? Are you real? Are you really real? I preached a message to a fellow. I've got to quit. I'm trying to quit. I preached a fellow. You know, when we was kids, we watched TV. They had TV. And this little boy said to his little, this little girl said to her big brother, she said, she called his name and said, I can't tell. The Cowboys and Indians said, I can't tell who's the bad guys and the good guys. Oh, he said, Sissy. It's the bad guys ride the black horses and the good guys ride all the white horses. So I preached a sermon called, I Can See Your Horse. You can talk all that white horse stuff you want to, but if you're riding a black horse, apparently something's wrong. Ain't that right? Ain't that right? How come you don't do what you say? I'm done.